The 6 o'clock news and the final campaign report. Good evening, this is Brian Perkins.
My concern is with securing from the British people a mandate and a decisive mandate for a second term of Conservative government.
The Labour vote is not only holding up very well, but is in fact increasing. We are out to win tomorrow.
The Thatcher government can't go on forever, and if they're returned this time, as the polls are forecasting, then we have lived to fight another day in a very, very much more strong way than we did when we entered this election campaign.
The party leaders as the campaigning ends. They were all in London for their final news conferences this morning. Then they left the capital to press home their policies for a few more hours. Tonight's campaign report in a few moments will include an assessment by our political editor of nearly 4 weeks of political argument. After yesterday's emergency landing on a Spanish cargo ship by a Royal Navy Harrier, the ship's owners are now discussing with Britain how much salvage money should be paid. President Reagan has announced his new flexible attitude to strategic arms talks with the Russians. We'll be hearing from our defense correspondent about this later in the program. 12 relief workers kidnapped in Ethiopia, including 4 from the Save the Children Fund, are now said to be on the border with Sudan. Britain's biggest takeover bid has succeeded. Also in the next half hour, shares reach a new record level. The Prince of Wales launches a new conservation program for Britain. With just over 12 hours to go now to the start of polling, party leaders have been making a final effort to get their messages across to the electorate. The main parties held the last of the news conferences of the campaign this morning. Mrs. Thatcher insisted that a large Conservative majority would benefit Britain and suggested it would lead indirectly to moderate forces gaining strength in the Labour Party. But she appealed to all Conservatives not to be complacent. Make sure you go to the polls and vote, she said. The Labour leader, Mr. Michael Foot, restated the party's main arguments. He said the Tories believed in a divided Britain, as he put it, an ugly, selfish, Tebbitite society with the haves against the have-nots. At the Alliance News Conference, the Liberal leader, Mr. David Steele, said if the recent surge of support they'd received continued until polling opened, the outcome of the election would still be uncertain. And we start our coverage of the last day of the campaign with this report by our political correspondent, Noel Lewis.
All the National Party leaders were in London for the final news conferences this morning, but rushed out to the regions to continue campaigning for the final few hours. Mrs. Thatcher went to the West, and in Salisbury faced the noisiest group of hecklers so far, and was almost shouted down. How pathetic you are, she shouted back, and still had the last word. Labour's leader, who insisted at his conference that the campaign in the country was very different from the picture of the polls and the newspapers, went to South Wales. First and last, unemployment continued as the major issue.
Jobs, 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 and how to get them for the young people, the school leavers on the dole, teachers on the dole, engineers on the dole, building workers on the dole, transport workers on the dole. This is the nurses on the dole, seamen on the dole. This is what's happening up and down our country, and yet Mrs. Thatcher calls it a success story. It's not a success story, it's a disaster story. What we've been putting forward all through the campaign is the way we can set about getting people back to jobs, where we can do it, how we can pay for it. That's what we've been talking about in domestic politics, and I think we've been quite right.
Mrs. Thatcher, away from the crowds and the hecklers, was asked what the Conservative strategy had been for this election campaign.
We started this a little bit after the Labour Party, the simple reason that I like to get things really worked out before we start, where we're going to have the meetings, who we're going to have on at the press conferences, so that I like to feel that if we're desperately busy and don't have time to turn our minds to the general planning again, the whole plan can carry through in practice. You always change it a little bit. But we really like to have our arrangements made before the off, and that's what we did this time, and did the job of everyone allocated and so on, and I think it's worked very well.
The Alliance leaders, David Steele and Roy Jenkins, headed north, still proclaiming that the polls showed a surge of support which made the result unpredictable. Mr. Steele was asked if he was disappointed that the alliance hadn't broken through the poll threshold of 30%, where they would win many more seats.
Naturally, if we don't make the breakthrough into government, that is sad and we live to fight another day. But I certainly should not be depressed by what I think has been a remarkable campaign and very solid progress on the ground. And I think the alliance is going to emerge in this general election as the movement which has reversed the trend of the pre-war period when the Labour Party eclipsed the Liberal Party. I think the reverse is now happening.
Roy Jenkins was also certain that whatever the overall result, the election would provide the biggest single change in politics for 60 years. He told Joe Paley that the shift had started 2 weeks ago.
Over the past 2 weeks, we've been picking up, and really picking up very strongly indeed.
Are you nervous about tomorrow?
Not exactly nervous. There's always an element of tension about receiving the results and seeing what follows from a sustained period of activity, which is almost unimaginable before one's actually engaged in it. So there's an element of tension, of course there is, but I wouldn't exactly describe it as nervous.
In just over 12 hours, the polling booths will open, and the record number of 42 million voters will be able to give their verdict on the promises, pledges, and insults of the politicians during the campaign, which started almost a month ago. With his assessment of the campaign, is our political editor, John Cole.
It's been a campaign in which sophology has vied for attention with the issues. And, of course, the personalities, in particular the personality of the Prime Minister, have been an issue in themselves. The polls have caused a good deal of controversy. Perhaps this was inevitable in the first real three-cornered election in Britain for more than 50 years. Once the Alliance rating in the polls began to move upwards, the temptation was for them to talk their figure up and for their opponents to talk it down. And the private polls commissioned by the parties to allow them to identify public attitudes began to leak to journalists. But the issues did get discussed. Unemployment was the principal one. Labour and the Alliance have always assumed that a government which had presided over a rise in unemployment to more than 3 million was vulnerable. Mrs. Thatcher and her ministers were nervous on that score, but argued that their economic policies were the only ones which could provide an answer. The opposition parties were hindered in getting their own policies for the jobless across by their attacks on each other. Labour also launched an assault on the Conservatives over the welfare state with a series of leaked documents which they said showed that Mrs. Thatcher intended to dismantle or privatise parts of the health service in order to cut public spending. The Tories spent much time defending themselves against this allegation, for the National Health Service is known to be a popular British institution. If the government was on the defensive over health, education and the welfare state generally, Labour was attacked by both the other parties on its defence policy. Differing interpretations of the party manifesto on nuclear weapons diverted attention from Labour's attack on the government midway through the campaign. Europe never became a burning issue. But the subject which was always there was leadership. Did the people want another 5 years of Mrs. Thatcher? Was Michael Foote an acceptable Prime Minister? Would Roy Jenkins be a success at number 10 if the Alliance were the largest party? On the doorsteps and in politicians' minds, these were significant questions also.
The opinion polls have played a significant part in the election. They've almost been an issue on their own. But today, the BBC reported a survey of 1,500 potential voters in the election after next. The survey of 9 to 12-year-old school children for the school's programme In the News showed that most children think elections are important, but pretty boring. One Scottish schoolboy protested that he was sick of canvassers because, he explained, my dad always sends me to answer the door. The survey showed that 20% of the children knew which constituency they were in, which is probably as good an average as the ordinary voter in this election. Almost 600 of the constituencies have been altered by boundary changes, the biggest redrawing of political boundaries since the Reform Act of 1832. The changes in boundaries, and in many cases the change in the name of the constituencies, mean that people will have to be more alert as the results come in.